This is Cliff Central.
I rock the party that rocks your body.
Yes.
You rock the party that rocks the body.
Yes, that's the way.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
So it, amen.
Bona,
can I just do this the right way?
The way you are used to doing it.
Okay. Cliffcentral.com. I'm Mabale Moloi. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the stage. Dumi Mora again. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, and we are sipping tea this morning.
Yes.
From 11 to 12. Well, actually, no. We must lay down disclaimers. We're not sipping tea at this very moment.
Tea is a relative term.
This is true. And so Dumi arrived this morning for our very first show.
Yes.
With a teapot.
Yeah.
And this thing.
A teacup.
Teacups, yes. That's the one.
And a tea saucer.
And you had actual tea.
Yes.
But then you also have this bottle of Patron.
Yes.
To which you said, well, you can have the tea or you can have the Patron.
Yes, it was very, very the Matrix. It was blue pill, red pill.
To which then I said, we must have the Patron. So here we are for our very first show with Dumi Morake and myself, Mabale Moloi, on cliffcentral.com. 0861-555-189 if you'd like to jump in on the conversation. Or, of course, you can send your messages straight through to WeChat. We are Cliff Central on our official account on WeChat. Or tweet us at cliffcentral.com. I'm very excited to be doing a show with you this year, Dumi Morake.
I am excited and extremely nervous.
Bella, you are also a superstar. Let's not forget this thing. Huh?
In certain circles. In this circle, I'm a nobody. Today, I'm at the bottom. I'm at the bottom of the rung. I'm climbing the I don't know if I can sleep my way to the middle in this industry, but I will try my damnedest.
I don't know who you would opt to sleep with.
I offered Gareth, but Gareth said he was full. So.
But no, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
To start off with, let's talk about this past Sunday.
Yes. Hey!
when the new show, the new Perfect Wedding season started. And, you know, I mean, you are a very loved person when it comes to this show. Everybody's like, Dumi is the one. She must never be replaced. Even though right in the beginning, when you took over the reins, people were not very kind to you.
Yo, they were ugly. I like how you say they were not. They were ugly.
Yeah.
They're like, "Who? This one hasn't skipped a meal. Who? This one, this. Ah, shame. Yes, I remember. They were hashtagging bring back Pumeza, hashtag bring back Brenda. And then... Murake is like, but wait, this is my tender. I shall hold on to this, my tender, and you will not tear it away from me. And this tender, people came to grow with me within this tender, and suddenly the very people who were showing me hate suddenly were the ones defending me and championing me.
And then they brought you back for season 2 and then season 3 as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you say, you are the only presenter of OPW to have three seasons under her belt.
Chum.
Why do they do this rotation thing? Why do they keep changing the presenters as much as they do?
Hey, when I asked, hey, because to be honest, when the second season ended, I did not want to leave. I was still having such a good time and I'd finally figured out what works. So me, I said, but why am I being fired? And they said, no, you're not being fired. We change our presenters all the time so that we can keep the audience coming, so we can get a fresh new audience to keep the audience interested. We need to keep changing presenters. I was like, okay, but me, I'm killing this thing. So what you're telling me does not make sense. So it means even if I can destroy and just give you ratings that will go through the roof, you're still going to change me. Okay. So I left. And then while I'm gone, how? No, I'm starting to get caught. And I'm seeing Twitter hashtag bring back. I'm like, hey man, this thing is serious, Mos. So when the top brass, as I like to call them, contacted me and said, would you like to come back? I did not even blink. I said yes. And then in the middle of that season, I just thought, you know what, I love this show. If I had my way, I would try and buy into the show.
But now, isn't this a very hard show to film, to shoot?
It's not easy to do.
I mean, you
but
out,
once
you
found
there,
your rhythm.
What, the whole weekend you are out somewhere.
Yeah.
Because
Mabala, I have 3 children and a husband. Don't you think this is exactly where I want to be?
No, because
it's escape. It's exile. I'm like, yes, I will take exile. It's an unofficial visa every weekend.
Because, you know, sometimes, you know, these weddings, you start with a white wedding and then the next day it's a traditional thing. So it really took up... your weekends, I imagine.
It did. It did. Look, there was a time we used to space it out. It would depend. Look, the last one was very hard because my schedule was very tight. So I literally didn't have a break. But the first two seasons were very easy because, you know, there were breaks in between. So I wasn't losing all my weekends. I was still doing me. But it is. I mean, a lot of women send me messages saying, oh, we hear you're leaving. Please, where can we audition? And I'm like, you know, when you do something really well, people think it's easy. And they all think they can do it. And for that, I was patting myself on the back going, Morake, you must have done a damn good job for people to think it's that easy.
Could a guy ever host that show?
A guy could completely host that show, but I don't know how he's going to deal with half-naked women changing.
Because I think he'd deal
just
fine.
That's a big thing.
He'd deal just fine. he would appreciate it in all its glory.
For me, it's about the personality more than the gender. When you do OPW, you have to be a people's person. You cannot think of yourself as above any kind of person. And you need to be able to read people. And that's why I said in my second season, it was very hard for me to imagine leaving. Because I realized something that I didn't know I had in me. I know how to connect with people. Ooh. I get... Because sometimes you get those couples who are genuinely boring. Like they're quiet. There's no spunk to their personalities. But everybody has a little bit of something in them.
And you just need to draw it out. And just pull out.
And when life, you're full of yourself and it's all about you and how amazing you are, you're going to miss all of that. So all people are going to get is pretty much the same thing they've seen all the time. So what I love about the time I was on OPW, and I think that's why the people who love me, because not everybody loves me. There are still people who've called me arrogant, who've called me sarcastic, they've said things about me that say, either you're hearing about the show because you can't afford a dish, or and now you're just drawing conclusions, or you're watching in a funk. Mm. So I realized that...
Watching with the intention to find something
wrong
with you.
Yes, to find something wrong with me.
Because they've already decided that I don't like this one.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to find something
pretty
there to
say. Because when I was watching it, I was like, man, these weddings are pretty much the same thing. Mm. What I found different is me and the people in these weddings. That's what's been different. And to be honest, that's why I'm excited about Thembisa doing it. I like Thembisa. I think she's got... Thembisa's one of those people who I feel knows how to be chilled and knows how to switch on the funny. Mm. Like, she's witty as well. She's not a comedian, but she has that sense of humor. You need a certain level of sense of humor to do this show because people need to be comfortable around you. The couples need to be comfortable. The audience at home needs to feel not like you're encroaching, but like you're part of this thing. Yabo? So what I like about her is when I've met her and I've known her for a few years, she's got that lovely personality. And I'm praying that it comes through because sometimes people miss it. Sometimes she will be put under pressure by people who want to make it all about, give me this, give me that, give me that. But she is such a strong personality, bruh. Me, I'm excited. I'm very sorry I missed her this Sunday. By the way, people, I'm not making it up. I actually missed all that excitement of what was going on Twitter because it was my daughter's birthday.
So
I am not about the Twitter and the Twitterati child's birthday.
At what age is your daughter at this point? Because are you at that stage where you have to hire like miniature castles and she dresses up as that princess from Frozen? How do you mothers do this thing? No,
she must dress like Mujaji at the next birthday. Me, I'm problem. Yeah, no, me, yeah, you are Afri, you must know your culture.
This is the way
you
forward.
Come as Nefertiti. Or you come as Mujaji.
No, I always, I always look at parents and I think to myself, yo, this thing looks...
No, I'm not that housewife.
It looks... Oh, okay. There's a difference.
You! My bad.
Oh, no.
Tell me the parties you've been to. No. Tell me. Because you're not with children. You.
No, they're not.
So which children's parties were you at and why? Who were you dating with children?
No. My brother, he is a father of two. And then my late sister also has a child. So they are 10, 5, and 1 year old. And every time that I go to these things, they look like such hard work for their parents. Mm. So, but I mean, you're saying you're not a housewife.
No, me, I'm not domesticated.
So are you the one who then phones someone?
If I can afford to pay other people to do it.
To phone a coordinator to come through and say, listen, do what you do and then let me know when you're done.
Yes.
Okay.
But you know, part of the reason I believe I will always be rich is that I'm also a bit of a miser. I have a miser streak to me.
Oh, so you are rich.
What I can do myself, eh? Yes. Let me tell you my definition of rich.
Okay.
If you're not living from hand to mouth, if your debt is way below your disposable income, then yes. And if your debt makes sense.
I don't think that's
my debt makes sense. Let me tell you, my debt makes sense. My only debt is my house.
Okay. So cars paid off.
Cars, why would you pay off a car, bruh?
No, I mean,
yeah, I change my cars every 2 years.
No, you see now, this is the thing. Some of us cannot afford to change cars, to switch them up every 2 years, because I need to, every time you change a car, it's about the upgrade, right? Mm, it needs to be bigger, yes, better, yes, faster, yes, it costs faster, more. Yes. And then you find yourself paying for the car for the next 20 years of your life.
Why are you making this awkward and about me and money? I thought we were talking about my child's birthday.
Okay, we'll get back to your child's birthday. I was just saying, you openly said that you are rich, and all I was going to say was...
No, I said I'll stay rich. When I become rich, I will stay rich. That's what I mean.
Okay,
all right. I'm comfortable.
No, I was only saying it because I would like to be your friend, and it has nothing to do with the fact that you've got money, okay? Just putting
you
it out there.
You must discover a thing called budget. Me, I learned budget. Lucky for me, when I got kicked out of Vids because hashtag fees must fall, I got financially excluded.
No. How did you get kicked out of Vids?
Financially excluded.
Really?
I couldn't afford the fees. And in that time, I actually got to work. I had the privilege of working for an insurance company. And while I was in that company, I learned so much about money and how easy it is to actually live a comfortable life. And how as easy it is to constantly be in debt.
So are you saying that the rest of us are making it hard on ourselves to not live a comfortable life?
Yes.
How so?
You are.
How?
You are. You know, especially for us Dak Zambanis, it's a sad thing about my people of the soil. Dak Zamban, oh gosh.
No, but if the money coming into my account every month and the money going out, if those balances are skewed, then how am I making it difficult for myself? Maintaining my lifestyle.
Because you're too busy showing people you're getting paid.
No,
you want to show people even you you can afford.
I'm not.
Do you know, from the time I was earning as little as 1,500 rand a month, I had a principle of 65% of my money was saved. 35% was what I was spending. And if there was anything I really wanted, I had to decide if it can't come out of this 35%, do I need it or do I want it or do I want to need it? And I would always say, I don't need this thing. I'm going to walk away. Because, you know, I started working not because I wanted to, but because I'd been kicked out of it. My sister still had to finish school and my mother had her mental breakdown. So she wasn't even functional. So it was a matter of, Tumi, you must decide now.
Are you the only child at home? How many of you?
I'm my mom's firstborn and my sister. It was just me and my sister on my mom's side. My dad has his own family on the other side of the world with, you know, my brothers and sisters and stuff. So I had to step up. And so that's when I learned this thing about money. That it's about how you do it. Because I even planned, how am I going to pay back Vids? Because I planned. I had a 5-year plan of this, how I'm going to pay back this money. Because at the time it looked huge. So by the time I paid it back and went back to school, it was like, yo, I know. You plan these things, they actually happen. And it took me less than 5 years to actually pay it off and go back to school and finish my degree on my own rents.
Now, what was the difference between you and, let's say, another young girl in your position at that time in her life, you deciding you're going to do this on your own and you're going to do it the right way versus somebody saying, actually, I'm just going to find a man who will do all of this for me, who will pay all of this for me? Because, you know, this is a big problem that...
Yeah. You need to have a level of arrogance
that young women.
No, I thought very highly of myself. No, I had a very high idea of who I am and where I'm going. You know, when you meet people and they tell you how amazing your mother is, because before even my mother died, people kept telling me how awesome she was, how smart she was, what a pioneer she was. First girl to drive her own car in her hood, because she came from a village in Taban, she called Ramakhar. She was the first woman there to own her own car. First professional nurse. All those, like, I've met nurses now who come to me and they say, do you know I'm a nurse because of your mom? Matrons. I met a doctor who said, do you know I learned more from your mom than I did in medical school on some level.
So when somebody sets the bar that high for
like,
you,
yo, this woman has set the bar.
You can't be a disappointment.
Next thing people are talking about, yeah, she's the daughter of this.
Yeah.
This thing.
What went wrong?
Yeah. So that was for me. I felt like I don't have a choice. I have to be amazing. And so, yeah, I think that was the difference. But also I have pride, eh? I have pride. Ask anyone who's dated me. It's probably the most annoying thing about me is I just have a serious pride. Even to ask you for 10 rand to pay for my parking will be a problem.
You won't do it.
No, my friend. Now I must get a sugar daddy who then when he demands that I must open legs, I must open. No,
you know
friend.
What? I have the same, and I'm going to call it a problem because in previous relationships that I was with, the guys eventually had a problem with the fact that I wasn't making them feel needed in the way that they want to.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
But I'm also like you. Like, I don't like asking for help from the next person.
Especially if it's something you know you really can do yourself.
And then they would say, no, but then the problem lies with you because, you know, I'm supposed to be your partner in this and I'm supposed to love you. And so therefore, if you need something, da 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 da. And I said, yeah, but it's not about you. You know, that famous line, it's not yes. you, it's me. No, it's really just about the fact that I need to feel like I am in control the whole time.
Yes.
Is it a control freak issue?
It could be, but tell
because
me this.
That for me is.
But did they come to you and make you feel like they needed you?
No,
exactly.
Yeah. So then, yeah.
Why must I justify? I'm sorry. No. I need to be my own person. It's important to me. You know, when my mom found out that Mpoe had proposed to me, she was like, "What to me? To me, you're too free. I can't believe someone actually. How are you going to be married to me? You're too free, man." And I never understood it, and now I do. Because I think even in my marriage, to a degree, it's still a bit of a struggle. It's still a push and pull thing with me, in that he's there and he supports me. But there are times when I'm like, I don't need you to hold my hand. Leave me alone. But then you have to go, ish. Yeah.
But I mean, this thing of getting married. How old were you when you did the deed?
When I got married.
You know, when
how
you
old was
when
I?
You were playing all the single ladies to all the girls who were at your wedding and making them catch your bouquet.
2009. How old was I in 2009? I just turned 34 last year, December. So 2009, I was
20.
Wait, 2009 was 7 years ago, ne? Yes, it's 2016. So
yeah.
I was 27.
I was still calculating from 2015.
I was 27. Oh wow. I was 27 when I got married.
Is that young?
No.
When people talk about getting married, there's always this thing. But you're too young. What is that age where they say you're too young?
And I think 21. Eh? Because when I think of myself as a 21-year-old, I mean that's the point where you're finding yourself, and I can't imagine finding myself in the middle of marriage. Because when you're in marriage, you still have to find yourself with this person in that context.
And then sometimes you have to find that person.
And you have to find that.
You go separate directions.
Yes.
And then you're like, whoa, wait a minute. We have to find each other and get back to the common place.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's funny, you know, when people call him Poe and I, they're like, oh, you know, you guys are such a perfect couple. And, oh, you guys make marriage look so fun. I'm like, yeah, if you guys knew how much blood and sweat goes into this thing.
No. It's rough, huh?
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Because like, a lot of literature that I come across these days will say things like, men, I think mostly men, but also more and more these days, women now are putting off getting married to much later stages in their lives. Mm. In December, I attended my sister-in-law's uncle's wedding. Now, he is 40-something, I can't remember, and the bride is 37. Mm. And I remember people making a big deal about the fact that, oh, but you know, they're so old. And I was thinking, no, they're not. No. They're what? Like,
too old for what?
It makes sense. Mm. To hold it off until a later stage versus doing it, you know, when you're closer to 21, like you said, is too young.
I think old is always a problem around if you're going to make babies. If you're saying you want to have babies.
Yeah.
Because you can't be 75 trying to chase a five-year-old. I mean, my dad had my younger sister when he was 63.
See, like, he can do that.
No, but he can't. I was like, but my ninja.
No, but
how long are you expecting to live? Then now we must be paying college fees. Where were you? Better live to 100. Because now you're having this child when you're 63. But, no, man. No, it's about whether you're ready or not. I know a couple. I can't remember who's telling me about. But there's this couple where she is independent. She's a doctor. She's got money. She's had a baby with this guy. He's also independent. He's very financially okay. But they live in separate houses. They're in a relationship, a very serious relationship. But they've both agreed they're literally not ready to get married. But they love the way their relationship is right now with them as bays, and they have this child. And you know, she and the child go to his place on weekends and whatever, but pretty much she lives in her space, he lives in his space. And I'm like, you see, that's keeping it real.
Are they never going to get married? Have they decided that that's not something that they want? Or?
My feeling is at some point they will. You know, I was watching Common's thing, the interview in Common, and one of the things he said about his breakup with Serena was that she still had a lot of life to live. And some people are like that. You still got a lot of life to live. I've met a 45-year-old who's like, you know, you're still nowhere near ready to get married. And to his admission, he's like, yeah, I still love women.
You know what?
I'm still having a good time.
I admire and respect that a little bit. There's a song by Jay-Z, Lost Ones, where he raps about how he was into Beyonce and he wanted like serious things from the relationship way before she did, because she was still this rising star and she was still coming into her own as this powerful woman. And he basically says in the song that, you know what, I had to basically let her go to go and do her thing, to be great. And then only when she was ready was she going to come back and do this marriage thing.
Yeah.
And he raps about that in the song.
Yeah, do you, man. Sometimes I still want to go hang off a chandelier with a young something, something there, you know.
Vintage.
Show me things there. And then you want me now to go sit down in marriage and missionary positions. No! Give me time to play a little bit. Yeah, people who force matters. But you know, family pressure as well. Sometimes business. I mean, geez, you know, there was a guy in corporate who was telling me about how when a guy walks in and he's wearing a wedding band, it's very different from a guy who walks in not wearing a wedding band.
What's the difference?
In terms of someone, it's like, it's almost like they're gauging how serious you are, how committed you are, your ability to commit, you know what I mean? Meanwhile, no, but I'm thinking, but wedding ring is used in clubs to pick up women. I mean, come
on.
I have a single friend who wears a wedding ring to clubs.
Because he knows that it's like, what's the saying?
It's a magnet.
Flies to honey. Is that what they say?
Dude, like, actually.
No, say it. Say it. Come on.
We are jumping from topic to topic, but. I wish a single woman out there could explain to me why single women feel the need to rescue married men.
And
they all want to rescue them. It's like they see the ring and they go, shame.
Listen. I'm a single woman.
Tell me, why do you want to rescue married men?
No, but I have never messed with married men. In fact, I try and avoid them like the plague. Because I just don't need to be wrapped up in that kind of drama. You know, there's this thing of, it's fine, it doesn't have to mean anything. I'll just do a quick in and out and then everything will be fine. Yeah. But a lot of the time what tends to happen in these situations is people catch feelings. Ish. And then now it's a thing. And then now all of a sudden the fact that this man who you knew had a wife, now the fact that he has a wife has now become a problem for you, and you're making demands of him.
It's always been messy,
in you know, in ways that he's just not prepared to. I mean, a lot of the time these people don't leave their wives.
Okay, so you like the ring because it gives you freedom. Then suddenly you don't want the freedom. You want to be the one. This is when people step out of their lanes. Yes. This is when I start to get pissed off. I'm like, but can we remain in our lanes?
Yeah, but it's very difficult to do that when feelings are now involved.
No, but feelings must be strong. Then you must just, for me, it's fine. You've got feelings. You put yourself in that position. Why must it be my problem? Why must you now phone me and tell me things? If you've got feelings, then you and your guy must now revisit your tender that you've agreed upon and decide how you're going to now cater, what's the word? You're going to now tailor it to fit these feelings you've got. It must still not affect my marriage. You understand? And don't take your fights to the streets. Me, if there's one thing I hate, is when the women then take the fight to the streets. And I'm like, but your contract, guys. The contractor is that guy, not you two. So why is the beef with you two?
But I mean, isn't it? No, you know what? This is a good point you make. Are people thinking that it is normal these days to take your laundry to the streets?
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
No, but this is what people do. That's why we read about gossip and scandal on Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing, is because seemingly people think that it is completely okay to out your cheating boyfriend. Or
I like old, like, school this morning, side chicks.
This morning on my timeline, there is apparently this girl posted a tweet about how a friend of hers was in a relationship with a guy for 5 years, and she has just discovered now that this guy is getting married like next week or something.
Oh my god.
So people are now saying, but how are you in a relationship for 5 years with someone and you don't know?
Living a double life is easy, guys.
No, but this is the question, though. How does that happen?
Do you know, I have a friend who found out her man was getting married because he was driving her to work. She opened the cubby hole for some reason, and there was an invite in there, a wedding. In fact, it was wedding invites, and they cascaded out because he just shut them in there. And there were invites to his wedding because he was on the rounds handing them out, and he was dropping her off to go finish off his rounds.
But now, were these two in a relationship?
In a proper relationship.
Like,
she didn't even know.
Long-term,
yeah,
committed
thing. 2 years, we've been together. So it happens. And it's also, girls, let's not lie to ourselves. We are very good at justifying things where you go, No, but it's because. It's very weird. I've never met his mother, but she is a strange woman.
Yeah.
Like, you will justify and justify and justify until you see him in the newspaper with a chick in a white dress and it's not you.
And isn't it that women always, like, they talk about women's intuition. Like, you know, man. You always know when your partner
but
is...
But you can shut it up, eh? You can shut it up.
Or maybe you could just deny it or, or pretend like actually no, it's not happening or it doesn't exist. But these things happen.
Now my theory is, if I'm eating and I'm still enjoying, do you, boo, do you, just keep giving me what you've been giving me. Don't let that relationship with that other person affect what me and you are doing. How do you deal with it in singlehood? Like, sometimes I wonder if I was single right now, what kind of girlfriend I would be.
Yeah,
I think
this
I'd
is
be a problem.
No, this is treacherous water. Because these days, you know, we're loving this idea that we're like very independent and modern women. Mm. And, you know, I'm feminist and I don't give a fuck what any man is going to say about me, and I will do what I want. And then you find yourself in situations where you are supposed to be maybe in a relationship with someone, but then there are also like maybe three other players on the side.
Ooh.
And then you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, okay, is this right? Is this normal? Am I a hoe? Because you know that whole hoe thing has really messed us up as women. But then you say to yourself, yeah, but I'm not anybody's wife.
Yes.
I'm not even anyone's mother. You know, I'm not anyone's anything serious.
And he's being honest with you about it, right? And you're going in knowing about the other three.
Not,
and you interrogate, right? You don't always.
No, well, I mean,
for me, it must be agreed upon.
So it must be
no
open
if
book.
We are eating, you must say, yeah, baby. So we are eating, but you know, I've got these three.
Look, no. Look, maybe there's, you establish with this one person that, listen, this is nothing serious because I'm not looking for anything like that. But then, do they need to know that there are also other people on the side that
you're
having playtime with?
In these days of things that can go wrong, I feel like you need to put all your cards on the table, my honey. So, but I mean, my belly, do you love sex?
Who doesn't?
No, but do you love sex? No, everybody loves it.
Ever.
Some people love it in the moment, but they're not like, oh, if I can just. Then there are people who
they're not waking up in the morning,
yeah,
wiping the saliva from their lips, going, yeah, no. What? How much longer until I get this thing
where
again?
Is B?
No, I love sex. It's enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know. Yeah.
So if you're getting a man who's giving you that, he's not giving you stress, and you can actually have a conversation with him. Yes. Or you don't want conversation, you just want good times and then he must go.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Can we get everything that we want from one person?
No, why? I'm a married woman, I must very categorically answer this question. As I sip my tea.
Because maybe the conversation is good with person A, but then the sex is not so great.
And then
maybe you decide that actually, no, the sex needs to be great, even though this conversation is awesome. And so then you think, no, I must leave.
I'll be honest. I can be physically attracted to you, but the minute you open your mouth and you're David Beckham, it's a turn off. I'm not going to be able to sleep with you beyond maybe once or twice.
There's a word for that.
What?
Women who are attracted, who are aroused by a man's intelligence. Mm. Because you know that we come up with these new words every now and again. Mm. What is it? Spono something or... Okay, anyway, I'll Google it. But carry on.
Yeah, some women, we need... I don't know, man.
No, but this is... getting back to my original question. Do you then, is it possible to get everything that you need from one person, or is it a case of compromise? Like, let's say there are 10 things that you want and you can only get 6 out of said person. And then you think, 60%, I can work with that. It's good.
Yes,
I'll stay.
You can do without.
There's
the
no
hours.
Way that you're going to get 100% from a person, right? That's just, we're not perfect.
Yeah. And you get different things at different times. I found in marriage, I mean, being married like 6 years, going on 7 now. And we were dating for a good 7 years before we got married. So I've literally been with my man for like a good 13 years. And what I found is you get different things from them at different times. You grow, things change, you know. And sometimes there are certain things that are lacking from you and from him, you know. And the other stuff has to outweigh. It's the minute that stuff, the good stuff starts outweighing. The bad stuff starts outweighing the good that you start going, what are we doing here?
It's no longer feasible. I'm not getting as much returns for my investment.
And that's honestly in marriage. Sometimes I wish when we were dating, my husband and I had actually done couples counseling. I think couples are serious about each other. Honestly, should start doing couples counseling. Even if you're not married, even if you're not planning on getting married, but you're serious about your relationship and enjoying where it is, and you have problems that you feel the person is worth working through. Couples counseling, I promise you, you know, there's certain skills that you get. There's a certain way of listening that you learn. There's so much, bruh. Because also, I don't know, I feel like...
Are you saying it?
We talk past each other a lot as people.
Yeah. And we shout at each other because sometimes in the moment, all I really want to do is... to be heard, and I'm not really listening to what you're saying, because right now this moment is about me. You must hear my point of view. This is what I want to say.
We're being deep now, my bad.
Okay, no, you know what? Let's
how did you move from sex to deep?
Let's sip on more of this Patron. We're sipping tea. It's myself, Mabale Moloi, with Tumi Morake. Sbeko says on WeChat, hooray, Tumi Morake. Asambe soyolala.
Chunawe. You are so beautiful and fun. I just need one night with you. My husband is Ghanaian. That bottom half is Ghanaian. There is nothing left for you,
Baba. Okay. Okay.
You don't want to throw a cucumber into a bucket. This is now tailor made for West Africa. If you were West African, maybe we could talk.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
We're going to carry on sipping some more tea.
And this back was very judgmental. Can you please talk about Proverb and his damn cheating wife? Please, you were not there. You don't know what happened. You don't know the circumstances. But I mean, sweet guys have sides as well. And it's not just... You know, I always feel like people must just sometimes just sit down and calm down. We can't just jump to conclusions and judge people. This is not the 1800s. You know, people like to climb this moral high horse of theirs.
Let's talk about that next, because that is like opening the floodgates.
We need to make peace, me and you. All right, we just started.
Okay. All right. Sip on more of that Patron. CliffCentral.com.
It's date night, and your wife wants you to bring Ray to bed with you. You suggested Tyrion, or maybe even Sheldon if she fancied something a little different. But no, Ray Donovan it is. So you get your tablet and you meet her in the bedroom. Because with Showmax for 99 Rand a month, you get to watch full seasons of the biggest series on the couch, in the kitchen, in bed, online, anytime. So get to Showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial. This is CliffCentral.com.
With myself, Mabale Moloi, and Tumi Morake, and we're sipping. With Askisi.
She's been sipping a little too much of the Patron.
Yeah, listen, I actually spilled. This is so embarrassing. I spilled because, you know, we're sipping tea, but we're actually sipping Patron today because, you know, first day at work. It's a big. And then she pours another one. It's a big day at work. You must start it off with a bang. You must start it off proper. And then now I've spilled this Patron all over my skirt. So I'm smelling like a person who's got serious problems in life and who just cannot deal. Okay? Sorry about that. I'm trying to hook up the telephone line here because somebody wants to talk to you.
Oh, is it?
Hang on. Okay, let's just do this.
What if it's SARS?
Okay. Hello, Primrose.
Hello to me. Hello, Mabale.
Hi. Primrose, you sound a little young to be listening to this show. OMG. Primrose, are you 11?
Yes, I am.
OMG, I can just hear that 11 in your voice. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Cool. What's up?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting up to today, Primrose? I mean, you guys aren't back at school for a while. What are you going to do today?
Besides torturing your parents.
Oh.
I'm doing my homework.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, my gosh. You see,
I love
Primrose.
You so much. I love people who do that. Because my kid is doing the same thing. My boy is 6. He's going to big school this year. He's going to grade 1.
Are you? Okay.
And he's been doing maths and English every day.
Wow.
Over the holidays.
So I'm going to grade 7.
Oh my gosh. You should go get a bachelor flat already. You are totally old.
Primrose, what homework are you doing? Are you doing maths, biology? What are you into?
Maths, content, and English.
Wow.
Nice. What do you want to do when you finish school?
Cecil John Rhodes Primary School.
Oh, you go to Cecil John Rhodes. They must rename your school.
You know, Primrose, when you take over the country, you will make sure that they rename the school. Primrose, have a lovely day. Thank you very much for calling us. Okay, you have a good day.
Okay.
Love you, Primrose.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, you see.
Hey, we must regulate what we talk about. This 11-year-old.
Wait a minute.
Can Primrose's mother just send us her bank details? We will
take care of this matter. There's no need to get lawyers involved. It really was very harmless and, you know, it's very innocent. We're preparing Primrose for the real world.
We are drinking Virgin Patron.
But now, absolutely.
It's coffee.
Zero alcohol content in this. Hang on. Why are your children doing homework on the 5th of January when they're on holiday?
Again, this is when I'm going to start speaking to my people of the soil, Abu Dag Zambai. please, it is time we take back. Babaleman, this is a public service announcement.
No, oh my God. Has anybody ever gotten upset when you say
Doug Zambak? I think they want to get upset and then I go, hey, but she's
but
right.
This is the truth. This is gospel. Say it.
We need to give our children that culture of learning. You cannot make it the sole responsibility of a school to teach your child that they must make it a habit that they do their work, that they make it a habit that they open a book and read it, that they make it a habit that they're ahead of everyone when they get to class. Because you want your children to have that confidence. You want them to have it as easy as possible in school. Let their only struggle be pimples and scaftini and
braces.
And braces.
Yeah.
Don't let it be, hey, kind of 1+1. Especially foundation phase in this country. I mean, stop laughing. Especially in a country where foundation phase is so atrocious. I'm sorry. This country's education system, I'm not so worried about high school. Foundation phase is a bloody problem where children cannot understand the simple principle of division, addition, multiplication, and subtraction. So holidays, my kids know. You are not going to touch that PS4. You are not going to touch the TV. You are not going to go anywhere near the trampoline. You're not going anywhere near the jungle gym until you've done at least your 2 books of Kumon. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Just help your kids. Read with them. Like, yeah. My kids have a library. Someone came to my... Actually, there's a white lady who said to me, I'm sorry, no offense, but where does this culture of reading come from with you? Because we've never known black people to be readers. And she wasn't being offensive. I understood exactly what she meant. Because she was very surprised. My kids have a full-on bookshelf.
But I mean, you're not even talking about e-books and this digital stuff. You're talking about hardcover books.
I have audiobooks for them.
Yeah.
Because also, don't pretend children are not children. Sometimes they're genuinely not in the mood. Their minds are not there. I put audiobook on. They listen to Lama Lama, Mrs. Mama, you know, and we're following it because we see that it's a book. But they still have this thing of reading is fun. You understand?
I saw a tweet over just before Christmas. I can't remember now who was the gentleman who posted this tweet. And he was promoting a series of books that have now been released in Sesotho, Xhosa, Zulu, all the vernacular languages, which, you know, is very difficult to get access to that kind of literature in our mother tongue. And he tweeted and said, guys, please support so-and-so. She's just released this series. And the one guy responded and he said, buy these for your kids for Christmas. And the one guy responded and he said, buy your kids books for Christmas. Why do you want to torture the children? They're already being tortured at school. Christmas is about games and toys.
Torture. That is upon which then you say, sir, can you DM me your address? I would like to come to you and give you a hug. I just want to find you and hold you. But
it would be very difficult to not make that to not make
you make it fun. But this is why I'm saying, if you make kids see that the book is not their enemy, they're gonna grow up loving books. They're gonna not just learn to pass, they're gonna learn to know. And then we're going to have leaders, and we're gonna have kids who pass well, who are also not passing to go and work for someone, who are passing to be entrepreneurs, because now they think big, they think outside. My 6-year-old quotes Dr. Seuss. My 2-year-old is counting up to 5.
That's a badass 2-year-old.
You don't mess around. My middle child picks the books he wants you to read. He will tell you the titles of the books he wants you to read him. You teach your children these things, guys, because we want our children. Education is everything. We need to build Africa. Africa is still raw, guys. We are still a raw material. Hey, I get very passionate about this thing because I just feel like we have such potential, and you cannot have people calling education and books torture. How? Torture is if you have to read supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's torture. Simply because you don't even know the movie from which it comes.
Did you always know that you were going to have children? Because
I knew. I always thought I would have them in high school. Thank you, Lord, that I only had them.
Okay. Yes, I saw.
Hey, man.
You were going to get a serious head start there.
My father.
No. Because every time that I'm talking to my grandmother, she makes me feel like a very bad person because I don't know if I'm going to have children one day.
It's fine. People, when I was with Mpo, 7 years into our relationship, we didn't have a child. And people are saying, King, are you sterile?
Yeah, what's wrong with
you?
Are
you guys, you can't tell me you just use a condom all the time. And I was like, why not? Why don't you guys have a child? Am I wearing a ring? Am I settled? Why must I have a child? To show who what?
Mm.
He must know the goods work. Yeah, he must figure it out. Even me, I don't know if his goods work. I don't know if he knows how to raise a child.
Mm.
So.
And now you've got three of them. Is
yeah,
it?
Okay, but not on purpose. Okay.
By accident. Is it?
Not on purpose. Oh, sorry, Anke.
I mean, besides the obvious hard parts of being a mother.
Yeah.
Tell me, are mothers still bearing like the majority of the responsibility of running the household and raising children? I mean, is it because, you know, times are moving, but then is it still a case of you maybe doing 70% of the work?
I don't know. I can't speak for the general. I've got a very special husband. I've got a very unique husband who actually takes on most of that responsibility because hashtag mama work.
Okay.
Papa work too.
Yeah.
But Papa acknowledge mama work.
Mm.
So if the workload is heavy on me, he takes over. And when the workload is heavy on him, I take over. It's a handover situation. My husband is a feminist. I tell people all the time, I married a feminist.
Yeah.
Mm, he's all about women empowerment, that man. He's all about, I don't know, like it fascinates me, the level to which my husband reveres women.
That's special.
I know. That guy, he's that one. He's that guy. If we ever get divorced, he's that guy. I'm like, but then you have to be my friend forever.
But no.
And that bitch better take very good care of you because I will come back and fetch you back.
But have you ever actually been friends with any of your exes? Maintained a solid friendship with no like extras, nothing. It's just the romantic relationship came to an end, but then you carried on as friends. See, I have never maintained a friendship with any of my exes. I mean, I talk to some of them every now and again, like, hi, how are you? Bye. There's no daily, hey, what's up? Do you want to grab a drink? Or listen, I need your help with this. No.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because it's just not humanly possible.
There are a couple who are.
But with your husband, you feel like you could maintain
with
that
him,
friendship.
I could, because I married my BFF, man. He's my BFF. He really is. You need to marry someone like that. I always say to my friends, they're like, I really want to get married. I want what you have. And I'm like, marry a friend.
Mm.
And by marry your friend, I mean, you have to marry someone who knows you, who knows the worst of you and knows the best of you and is cool with it. A guy you can tell, I think my man will hot. I really think Gamufila diamond or hot. And for him to go, yeah, I don't see what you see there, too much. Mm. Not someone who goes, oh, via.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone you can have hard conversations with, but also laugh till your belly aches with. That's my guy.
Roddy on Twitter says, hi, sister, you look good, my sister. Mind to share your secret? Now, this is a good question because when you came into the studio this morning and you were walking up our stairs and you came in here and it looked like you needed a walking stick because you were limping and, you know, you were in all kinds of pain.
Hey.
What's the deal here?
No, me, I'm gymming. I am gymming with a lovely young man called Sichaba. You'll find him on Twitter under 16 Stitches. And
does he have a six pack?
He has all kinds of packs. Even his six pack has a six pack. Like we do simple workouts. We work with kettlebells and nothing else. Just my own body and kettlebells. And so we restarted. I gym. I work out because I realized that I can't diet, guys. I tried dieting. It does not work for me. I have one of those bodies where if I go on a diet, I literally will have to go to a dietitian or an endocrinologist and have them put me on something because normal diets just don't work for me.
But I mean, is that because you were eating like cabbage soup for breakfast and then an egg for lunch and some
like I couldn't
a cup of
you know,
rice
I tried,
for dinner
Baba, but
because you know you've got it like the
but you know what my problem is as well. Me, I grew up when I was growing up with my grandmother when I was in primary school, I was eating organic. Like, you know, people think white people came with organic. No,
dude,
always had organic.
Dude, my mother at
grew
home
up organic.
My mother at home, okay, well, not so much these days because of the drought, shame. But we grow our own vegetables at home. Everything. Like, we don't buy vegetables from the shop. We've got everything. Pumpkin, spinach, damati, millies. We've got, like, the whole lot. It's a big-ass garden.
Still does that.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's because I messed with my body coming from that environment to here where we are fast-fooding and, you know. So I grew up on, there were cows in the yard. We were milking them, sifting that milk ourselves, churning butter.
How do you do that?
Having our... Dude.
I mean, after you milk the cow...
Let's visit someone with a milk with a farm.
What are you supposed to do with the milk after you squeeze it out?
Yeah, you squeeze it out, then they bring it in the bucket. It's so smelly. I hate the smell of freshly from the breast cow milk. I won't lie. To this day, I can't get that smell out of my mind.
Okay.
And then what they did is we would use a sieve, or use a simple fatuku if it was not a sieve, ne? And then you just sift out the top of that milk, ne?
Yeah.
Now, this is where pasteurizing comes in, because we boil the milk. You boil the milk because you're killing all the stuff
in it.
And then we keep the milk in the fridge. And then there'd be some of it that would be left to make inkomas, you know. We would make sitemi. You know, we call it sitemi.
Yeah,
we'd make sitemi. We'd chase the hen in the house so that we can catch it. My grandmother would break its neck and then cook it for hours.
Have you ever broken a hen? I could never. Yeah.
I was always happy to hand it over, but I never wanted to be there for the killing. I was there for one killing. I never wanted to be near it again.
Yeah.
So I like good food, and for that reason, I like food that's rich, that tastes good. So I've decided I must work off my energy. The biggest thing I've done, because people have asked, how have I lost the weight? Because I haven't lost as much weight as I wanted to. Hey, I've actually gained 2 over the holidays. So now I have 10 kilograms to lose.
That's nothing.
I only had 8 to lose.
2 kilograms.
No, but that, dude, that gives me 2 more to lose. Anyway, but my thing is, the biggest thing I would say if someone's trying to lose weight is, trust me, give up sugar. And if you really love the taste of sugar, buy xylitol. Trust me. Xylitol is the best way if you're trying to wean yourself off sugar. Just take that. You start taking too much of it, you start getting the runny tummy, you start taking less and less of it, you end up actually giving up on sugar. And I found alternatives to the things I like.
Which is what?
Like, I used to overeat salt and vinegar chips. Now I buy myself those mini rice cakes, mm-hmm. that's salt and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Satisfied. It's I even delicious. Eat less of that than I would eat of the chips, and I'm done. But I drink lots of water and I gym, guys. I work out 3 times a week.
No, that's serious commitment.
It's not even a lot, eh? 3 times a week is not a lot. I mean, there are 7 days in a week.
Yeah,
and I'm only working out 3 of those 7 days.
Because what do they recommend these days? But then again, they also keep changing their minds. You know, it's like, first it was aerobic workouts, and now it's, no, you must do straight training.
But you must listen to your body. Because I did straight training, it worked for a time, and then it stopped working. And that's when I switched to kettlebells. And that's helping, because you're working with muscle fibers. And I've stopped making my obsession getting thin. My obsession is getting stronger. So every time I can feel I'm stronger, I feel like there's a difference. Then I see, oh, look, this dress is loose. I need a smaller size.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I was wearing size 42, 44 at some point. And right now I'm like in a comfortable 38, 40 for my hips, because the hips don't lie.
Well, these hips and
so, yeah, once I can fit into a size 36, 34, I'll be happy. Because you know that those girls are like, I want to be a size 32, yes. Me, I just want to be thick. Mm. I want that thickness. You know when you're wearing a costume.
Very good for voluptuous.
Yes, yes. You know when you can see this guy is swallowing saliva because he's going to hanka kena mola. What's about fit ba hoya so tontate? Hanka ipona. That's the hot I want.
Saliva. No, I understand completely.
I want my men must still have something to hold on to.
Madam, we have run out of time.
You lie.
Can you believe it?
You lie, Mabali. I'm talking less next week.
This is how we roll. No, that's fine. That's fine. We'll take turns in talking. You know, that's also okay. But it's been fun. Thank you for the tea, for the Patron.
Yes.
And thank you for being a part of our conversation. We'll be back with you next week, Tuesday. Let's get my mind out of the old show now. Next week, Tuesday, 11 a.m. And then also, don't forget, you can download the podcast anytime to listen it at your own leisure. Thank you to Mimoraike.
No, thank you, Mabali Malai.
And we'll see you next week on Sipping Tea.
This is Cliff Central.